For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We got a good pod today.
We do.
Good to have you back,
talk
man.
Some football. It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
it feels like it's been longer.
I hope
you had a good break.
It was a great break.
Yeah.
Yeah, just did nothing. Hung out. It was nice.
Best kind.
Yep. Got some sleep. Got some rest.
Got just enough bored where you're excited to come back to
you're
work.
Exactly right. You know what I realized? When you do nothing on your break, you don't hit that the Sunday scaries.
Mm.
Like, it's one thing if you go away on a nice vacation during your break, then you're like, oh, can't believe that went so fast. My heart hurts that I got to leave here and go to work. I didn't have that. I was kind of like, all right, let's
ready
go
to
work.
Back.
Let's do this. Yeah, let's do this.
That's good.
Yeah.
Tag time.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's do it.
Franchise tag time.
Yep.
Is that what's going on?
Yep. Franchise tags. I think we might have got a few questions from some fans we're going to hit on today.
We do.
But the tag window is open. It's an interesting year, I think, for the tag in general. I'm interested to see how this goes this year. You know, last year, Pete, just if you can, like, how many tags did we have last year? I think we had a pretty high number. I would
15.
I would think we could have a decent number this year too.
But it's going to be down. You say it's interesting because the salary cap is about 10% down.
Is
that about right?
Right.
So you think double digits again for the franchise?
I think if you made me bet, I think we could be flirting with that. Certainly. Yeah, I do.
Because I'm going to set the over under at 10.
We'll see where we get, because I didn't even count to where I am on my list here as we go through some of these names in different positions. But, you know, the one thing that jumps out to me, yes, I know the salary cap's going to be somewhere between 100 and 185 million. But because of that, too, and some of the names we're going to talk about, the franchise tag numbers are not gigantic this year. You know, and also I think, you know, some of the players we're going to talk about.
There we go.
There's some players where you go, this is a bargain for this price.
Completely.
And it makes sense. And then hopefully you can work out a long-term deal.
If you can get the best version of that player. Because aren't players kind of pissed about it?
Well, of course. The franchise tag is the worst thing in the world for a football player.
And I'm going to throw in a question from at Alan Zullinger. He says, can we get some general thoughts from you on the franchise tag and how players feel about it?
Yeah, the players hate the franchise tag. I mean, that's the general consensus. You know, again,
because
there's no long-term security. It's one more year of rolling the dice. Yeah, sure, I'm going to get a big paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. But, you know, okay, a quarterback, Dak Prescott, maybe he can get away with, you know, getting hurt the way he did and still get franchised once again or get a long-term deal. But other positions, you know, we'll see. You know, we'll talk about Bud Dupree in a minute. He's in that kind of situation with the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's going to be interesting. But, yes, at the end of the day, everybody wants a little bit of long-term security.
Right.
And more than that, just one-year cash grab to go forward. So between the fifth-year option and if you're a first-rounder in the franchise tag, some of those guys can go 6 years of their career without seeing, like, really major, major money. You know, I know it's good money, but I'm just talking about in the scope of the NFL.
Compared to what they could get
exactly
if they got signed to a long-term deal.
Right, yes. Yeah. So, I don't think most players do not like the franchise tag.
Okay, so for our purposes of this show, Pete says this exercise here. Let's assume none of the players reach long-term deals before the tag deadline of March 9th. So we're kind of talking about all these players and positions, if they should get the tag or not. And I believe where we hit multiple players, you're going to rank them?
Yeah, I'm going to rank them.
One through whatever?
Not necessarily all about their talent and who's better.
Value to their team.
Value to their team. Does it make sense for their team and all of that? But, there's certainly some good ones, some interesting ones in here. And, there's some teams that certainly got to do some work this year as far as figuring out their salary cap, because there's a lot of teams in some bad spots.
Yeah, starting with, I don't know if it's a bad spot, but the Buccaneers have some interesting ones. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Wide receiver position will kickstart that. Let's begin with a quarterback, and there's only one that we're talking about, Dak Prescott. Pete, you have in parentheses $24.8 million for the tag. Wouldn't he be a little bit more because he did it last year?
Yeah, he's going to be, I think, somewhere towards like 37.
Up in the 30s, yeah.
I think so, yeah. This year for that tag.
Let's say your last name was Jones and not Sims, and you're in that family. What are you doing here?
Well, I mean, there's no way I'm letting him hit the free agent market. I'm not. Now, long-term deal, I'm not going to just throw out something right off the bat here. Right off.
We play the other side.
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, you know, two things. Pretty serious injury, all right? I know what he is, okay? But what we don't really know is what Dak Prescott's commanding and asking for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and from everything we hear, he wants to be paid like Deshaun Watson.
Which is how much a year?
Like basically, you know, 40, 39 and change. Mm. And I'll always say this, Dak Prescott, when healthy, is a top 10 quarterback. He is not a top 5 quarterback.
Right.
And I think Jerry Jones kind of made that clear last year a few times. You know, when they lost that Seattle Seahawks game early in the year, he kind of made some cryptic talk messages, and Pete will probably remember, where he talked about, I'd like one of those quarterbacks who can make things happen and run around. Dak's not one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that shows you where they view him. Now, last year, I think it was all about the fourth and the fifth year conversation, and I know people tried to rebut me on social media, like, you know, Ian Rappaport, who probably talks to Dak Prescott's agent, tried to come out in social media and say, I was wrong. He didn't tell me where I was wrong or anything I was wrong. He just listened to the agent and said, hey, can you put a tweet out to tell Chris Sims he's wrong?
Right.
Okay, bull crap. I don't think I was wrong. I think I'm pretty damn right. but anyways, that to me is the biggest thing. I just don't know what he's asking for or what he's expecting. I don't know if it's more about the years, the guaranteed money.
Probably a little bit of both.
He certainly should be paid like one of the 6-7 best quarterbacks in the game. I have no problem with that. But if I'm Dallas right now and you're not getting to that, you're franchise tagging him. You're continuing to monitor where that ankle is. That is a pretty serious injury. Dislocation, you know. I wouldn't expect him to be totally 100% the explosive Dak Prescott you would have seen, you know, before the injury.
He does most of his work from the pocket, though.
He does do most of his pop, but he will, you know, when you really break him down, you realize he moves a little bit more than you think. Like, it's not like showy, sexy movement, but it's a lot of, okay, I'm stepping up in the pocket, and okay, now I'm kind of in pressure, and I'm moving, I'm running, I'm throwing a 20-yard crossing route.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they will run the ball with him on read options and things like that. And I believe that was a play he got hurt on. It was a read option. So franchise, no doubt about it. Buy yourself some time. If you get to a point where now it's May, June, and you start to go, hey, he looks good. Like, he's going to be really close to 100% when the season starts. I mean, I would hope that they could get a deal done.
I would think so.
What else is
because
out there?
It's
who's going to be better that you're going to get than him?
What are you going to get?
He's in the prime of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Your team right now is built around your offense.
Completely. And I think that they franchised him once. He had that horrible injury. You saw how much, and you kind of suspected, but now you really know how much his teammates care about him and want him around. So there's that tangible part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't the tie go into getting this done long-term because he is a top 10 quarterback?
Yes.
And because the way everybody reacted, they want him around. The locker room wants him there.
No doubt. He's. And
what if they offered him a contract long term, fifth highest quarterback in the league?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I would take that right now. I mean, for what he is looking into the future, you know. And again, let me like we pull up top salaries for quarterbacks in football right now. You know, let's just hit it real quick while we're here. We might as well. I mean, of course, here's Mahomes at a $45 million a year average.
Okay.
But it's a team-friendly $45 million. Let's not be crazy here. A lot of that is bullshit numbers that are way down the road that Mahomes is going to have to stay healthy to get or
so
who knows where.
So he's averaging 45 a year?
45 a year.
Okay.
But he's not getting as much money as Ryan Tannehill or Deshaun Watson in the first 4 years of his contract. He took a very friendly deal. So is Dak Prescott willing to do something like that? I don't know. But here we got Mahomes at 45, Watson at 39, Russell Wilson at 35. Now, where the market's messed up is Big Ben's at 34, and he's going to take a pay cut or do something to adjust that this year. But, I would think that the sweet spot would be somewhere in that 34 to 39 range going forward.
I would say 30 to 35.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I think, you know, with Aaron Rodgers at 33.5, and of course he's underpaid at this point, but where the market is for this point and everything like that, I would hope maybe Dak Prescott, being smart, being who he you know, could maybe find out a contract or figure out a contract to where it's not a huge blow to the team maybe this year because the salary cap, mm-hmm. and maybe not next year, but he's getting big-time guaranteed money, and then maybe after that it can become, okay, now we're getting into the $40 million a year type of thing.
Right.
And they can build a team. You got to remember, they got issues on their team. They got no defense. They got a lot of work to do to fill some holes on that side of the ball. But it's a very tricky situation, and I really don't know how to feel about it in a lot of ways.
And because it is a tricky situation, yeah. and it is the Cowboys. It's a hot-button issue. A lot of theories out there, a lot of thoughts this time of year about what might happen.
Yeah.
The armchair GM throws this one out there. Do you think it would be good for the Cowboys to tag and trade Dak to a team like the Dolphins or the Jets to get a high pick and replace him? With the Cowboys having a bad defense, like yep. you just mentioned, I think right. this could be a smart move for both teams.
Well, I don't think it's a crazy thought. I just is Jerry Jones willing to do that at this point of his life, throw out a franchise quarterback who yeah. you know can be the guy for at least the next 5 or 6 years?
I would say maybe it's not crazy, but I would label it as reckless.
I would too.
And the wrong move, because right. it's exciting to think about what kind of picks you might get. People get so fired up about that this time of year, but what are the chances you're going to get a quarterback who's, whether you rank him 8th best or 12th best, who's that good?
No,
the chances are much better that you won't get somebody that good.
That's the point. The chances are you won't get somebody that good. The chances are, hey, they like Johnny Manziel. They liked Paxton Lynch. Let's not forget about that. I mean, yeah. if Denver didn't get Paxton Lynch, they wanted him. So I'm not necessarily about to go all in on Dallas and their quarterback eye
right.
either. So
right.
that to me, yes, is risky, and I would not give that away for Dak Prescott.
I would say leave well enough alone right there and find a way to get that guy signed.
Yeah.
Pete, let's go ahead and roll that graphic there. NFC East Division winner odds provided by PointsBet at Sportsbook. Dallas right now, and again, we're in February, the odds on favorite to win the NFC East. If they have Dak back, is that how you see it too?
No. I don't. You know, Philadelphia, 2? What the fuck does Philadelphia got at number 2 that makes you think that's going to work?
And
okay?
Way ahead of New York and Washington.
Well, what I don't understand is you give me something solid at quarterback for Washington, I'm riding with Washington.
Yeah.
That would be the
yeah.
team I'd go.
As the best?
As the best. I would. Their defense ain't going anywhere. It's
yeah.
only going to get better.
Yeah.
They got a pretty good offensive line. You know, they got Terry McLaurin. I think Antonio Gibson's damn good.
I think I would have put the Giants ahead of the Eagles, too.
I probably would have, too. I don't understand that at all. But, yes, I mean, Washington's the team I look at to go, if they can just figure out that position, and I know that's a big if, we'll see. You know, some of these dominoes got to fall here to figure out what the hell's going to happen at quarterback. But Washington's the one where I go, whoa, that's totally being underappreciated right there.
All right, Dak Prescott and the NFC East got us warmed up here a little bit. Let's move into the wide receiver position.
Cool.
You good
let's
there?
Let's do that, yeah. Let's
cost
do
you $15.8 million if you want to franchise any of these guys. So you're going to rank them based on importance to their team. And these are bigger name wide receivers
yeah.
who are coming up on free agency, and maybe their teams tag them to prevent them from getting there. So we have Chris Godwin, Tampa Bay.
Right.
Allen Robinson, Chicago. Kenny Galladay, Detroit. And Will Fuller, Houston.
Okay.
Go ahead and rank away.
So right away, like, let's just – Will Fuller's not getting franchise tag. There's no way. I mean, he's – I like Will Fuller. The talent, come on. He can't even – he can't stay on the field. Then he did PEDs last year.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm not cool with that. I just – no way.
And he's not as versatile as the other guys.
Definitely not. He is a home run hitter, take the top off the defense type of guy. So he is last of that list right there. My number one will be Kenny Galladay.
Ooh.
Yes. I know you probably weren't expecting that, but listen to my reasons first, okay?
Yes.
Galladay is really good, well-rounded receiver. I mean, certainly – again, there's 20 top 10 receivers in football,
yeah.
like we've talked about.
Right.
But I think he is legitimately hovering around that top 10 for sure. He can do everything. He can beat you deep. Even if he doesn't beat you deep, he's the kind of guy you can kind of throw it up to, and he can 50-50
yeah.
ball it. And he can go over the middle and do kind of the physical routes too. I'm a big fan of Kenny Galladay on your team. Plus, you just traded for Jared Goff.
Yes. Well,
you want to make that, yeah. You want to sell that to your fan base a little bit. Mm-hmm. So there is no way I'm letting him out of town. Marvin Jones is a free agent. Kenny Golladay, for me, is, out of all these guys, the number one guy to tag just because of those reasons. I'm not saying he's necessarily better than all these guys.
Right, right.
All right, but I think just the importance of the team and where they're at, they'd be crazy to let him hit the free agent market.
I agree.
Right now.
Yeah.
I mean, if they let him in the free agent market, they're going to have to really break the bank.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, kind of backstory here, how I get ready for this. I always try to anticipate what you're going to say.
Yeah.
So I had you ranking him at third, and I really like him. And I had notes built up to kind of sell why you shouldn't have him ranked so low. But I had started with what you mentioned. I mean, they just went and got Jared Goff.
Right.
And even though they're in a total rebuild, new head coach, new GM, the whole thing, they need Jared Goff to have some success.
Yes.
And so what does he need? He needs some pretty good wide receivers.
Definitely.
So to me, that was why I had him. I had him at number two
on
this list.
Good.
But I like that you had him high.
Yeah.
And I think he also makes some pretty good, like the only good young playmakers they have in the passing game, Hockenson,
yes.
Swift, he makes them better as well.
Agreed. And if you're going to run the Anthony Lynn offense, which it's going to be run, it's going to be run-based, and boots and play actions is what I expect, Golladay fits that really well. Golladay is the guy, play action, 15 yards over the middle, in between linebackers, he'll take the hit, catch the ball.
Better than 15 yards per catch, by the way, too, the last couple of years.
That's what I mean.
Shouldn't be overlooked.
He is a home run hitter that way. He's very – that's where I'm a big Golladay fan, and I don't think you can afford to let him out at the door if you're Detroit.
And they also have Marvin Jones, free agent.
Free
Danny
agent.
Amendola, free agent.
So exactly.
They have to have something.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's unfortunate he's we agree this
strongly
right away.
He's in the prime of his career.
Right away. Yeah, I know.
He's in the prime of his career.
And he's their own pick, even though it's not the same GM.
Yeah.
He's a good story there, and apparently a good team guy as well.
Definitely. All of those things match up. So that to me is the number one guy I would out of this list. And that doesn't necessarily mean I think he's better than number two.
Sure.
Which is
to his team.
Yes, to his
team. To the situation, yeah.
Yes. Now, Allen Robinson is awesome. That's who I'm going to make number two.
Okay.
Right? And Allen Robinson, of course, is super talented. Really very similar to Kenny Golladay. I mean, very. Where I would say Kenny Golladay has more of a deep threat possibility than Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson's awesome. He's like Gumby adjusting to the football. He's 50-50 guy. Over the middle stuff we just talked about with Golladay, Allen Robinson's the same way.
He's all they got.
He's all they got, kind of. Let me just – so this is where I make him number two.
Yeah.
One, I don't think they're a team that's wide receiver dependent, like as far as – wide receiver play doesn't make their offense. I don't think their offense is good enough to really utilize the receivers the right way in a lot of ways.
That says a lot right there.
Yes, I know. But here's the other aspect of this. They got a good young receiver in Darrell Mooney, who I really like. They got a guy like Anthony Miller, who's a pretty damn good receiver too. I don't look at them as like totally depleted at that position. Mm. Now, and then you got Cole Kmet at tight end and all of that. Plus, you know, I guess the other thing that I'm taking into account here is I don't know if Allen Robinson really wants to be there. That's the other thing. I mean, if you really pay attention
how
to Allen.
How much does that have to do with it, though?
Well, I mean, I think he probably feels disrespected he didn't get something earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, you know, if you look at his social media and things about him that he said there, he's kind of sent some cryptic messages out there about the team in general and maybe him not wanting to be there. So.
Yeah. Maybe he's feeling the same thing that you just said, that their offense isn't really that wide receiver friendly.
I would think that's part of it. I would. So, and, you know, the Chicago Bears, let me just hit on this too. You know, as far as salary cap, things like that, it's not like the greatest position right now. They need to clear $1 million or $2 million basically in their cap space just to get under right now.
Yeah.
All right. So they got issues there. To me, the thing I'm looking for with Allen Robinson and why I also make it number two, I don't think it's maybe imperative for him to be on the football team in general, as far as I just go, if they don't have him, it can't work. I don't look at it because I don't think, you know, they're that type of team like I was explaining to you. But I think the big thing is off of that too, I could see a tag and trade with Allen Robinson. I could see that. They have holes on their team.
Oh, plenty of them.
They got tackle issues, offensive line issues in general.
Yep.
You know, they're stuck with some players on their defense. In some bad contracts like Robert Quinn, who did not live up to his expectations. Mm-hmm. So those are, I guess, the reasons I kind of made him the number two guy on the list more or less.
Okay, so if that's part of the conversation, let's even say you're Ryan Pace and that's your number one priority. You're in meetings, you're like, man, we should tag and trade this very good player.
Yeah.
If they get what? A second round pick? Well, what counts as the right value for him if that's the route they're hoping to go?
I you know, depending on who's drafting and where, I mean, Allen Robinson is a clear number one receiver in football. You know, I don't – I mean,
are you getting yourself to saying a first round
pick? I mean, I don't know if it would be that crazy as I sit here and think about it. You know, I didn't think about the trade aspect or value totally, but I think you could maybe get a late first round or early second rounder for a guy like Allen Robinson. I do.
And you'd make that move?
I would really, really think about it. Mm-hmm. I would. I mean, I'd want to get a feel for how much the guy wants to be there, everything like that. But, yes, I would not – I don't think I'd be afraid to make that move. I would not. Like I said, Anthony Miller, I like him. I like the Darnell Mooney a lot. I mean, I think he is a game-breaker wide receiver. Again, they didn't have the quarterback or the offense really to take advantage of him. And that's where I guess I worry about the Allen Robinson thing too.
I know this is a revisiting, but I think it's a good point, and I want to get in some Twitter questions. So Jack Schneider 13 basically asked what I just asked you. What can the Bears get in return if they tag and trade Allen Robinson? So late first, early second, you think is realistic?
I think it is realistic around, or if you know, if it is a second, then maybe you get some other picks along with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to think of just some wide receiver trades over the
tag and trade. I think, Pete, you can check this. I think the last time we saw it was Jarvis Landry.
I think you're right. I believe you're right. And what did they get for him? I want to say a number. I want to say maybe a two.
Was two at the highest.
Yeah. Yeah. And Pete's looking right now. But I would say this too. I think Allen Robinson's. And I really like Jarvis Landry. I think Allen Robinson's probably a better player than Jarvis Landry. I do. I think he's more of a one-on-one matchup nightmare.
Yeah.
Jarvis Landry's a great, you know, 1A or awesome number two to me. He's not necessarily like the number one marquee guy where you just go, if he's one-on-one, we're going to abuse you all day. He's not that kind of guy. Allen Robinson can kind of be that guy.
I think you're going to be surprised at all that they got for Jarvis Landry. They got a fourth and a seventh is all.
Oh, a fourth and a seventh.
Fourth and a seventh.
Well, he wanted huge money.
Yeah.
And I don't – and there was this is right. And there was a disagreement. Him and Adam Gase did not like each other.
Right, right.
So there was issues there altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess the price tag, of course, was a part of that altogether, too.
Right. And I'm just reading another question about it's backing up. But Jordan Cole wants to know what the Lions could get in the tag and trade for Kenny Galladay.
Yeah, I mean, I would think it would be something similar to what we just said there. You know, I can't imagine that they're going to give him away for anything less than a two. You know, Kenny Galladay did get hurt this past year, so that goes against him a little bit. But damn, he's kind of a game-breaking receiver.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, maybe I should have came a little bit more prepared for the trade scenarios and everything like that. I think I look at that as kind of right there along the Allen Robinson thing.
I think it's okay where you are. I mean, that's the point of the season we are in right now in February. Yeah. Like, you bring up a topic, and it's like, it's your first knee-jerk reaction to it. And I think it'll also help as we get more and more into like how deep the wide receivers are in the draft, if it makes sense, like you know, a late first. Here's what they can get at that point, or an early second.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like other trades at receiver with Brandon Cooks. I mean, Odell was different with that one with the Browns because there was, you know, money involved. They traded players, so that got convoluted and everything, too, to go along with it. I think that, you know, I think those guys are yes, two, you know, high second rounds, maybe late first round to get a player like that.
Say that one more time, Pete.
Oh, so then I'm too high.
DeAndre Hopkins, well, second round pick?
Well,
is that what you said?
But, yeah. So what I'm taking, what I'm not taking into account, well, it's because they knew DeAndre was going to ask for a $22 million a year contract.
Yeah.
Right now, I don't think Galladay or Allen Robinson are to command that.
No.
It's going to be somewhere in the 17 to 18 a year type of range.
To franchise
so maybe
them
I'm
is
too
just
high
under 16.
With my first round. Maybe it is. Maybe it
I don't
is
know.
Seconds.
Late first? We'll see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Same.
So, I think this next one is the most interesting one on the list. Chris Godwin.
I know.
Because of what he means to Tom Brady, because of the Buccaneers start out as the number one team. So you have him as third on this list?
I do have him as third, and it doesn't mean, you know, again, I love the player.
Should they tag him?
It depends on the Shaq Barrett thing. I mean, if you're going to give me the choice of one or the other, I'm tagging Shaq Barrett. I think he's more important to their football team. Godwin's great, but, you know, one, they got good tight ends there. They do have Mike Evans.
I think Brate is a free agent as well, though.
Brate might be a free agent, but I expect Gronk to be back there.
And O.J. Howard.
They do have O.J. Howard coming back.
Yep.
They got Scotty Miller and Mike Evans. They got the kid Johnson that they drafted out of Minnesota, right? So he's going to work okay there. And I expect Antonio Brown to be back. That's where I'm – now, they need to hear that answer first, maybe before they figure out what they're going to do from Godwin, because they – I think that would make them feel better about...
I think that's a pretty big drop-off for a full season to go from Godwin to Brown.
Yeah.
In the same spot.
Well, yes, but I think it can be filled, and it's not going to make a huge difference to their football team. Where I would sit here and go, you know, with... If they lose Shaq Barrett, I would go, oh, that's going to change their team. That will change their team. Godwin, I sit there and still go, that offensive line, if they can run the ball a little bit, those tight ends, Evans, Scotty Miller... And if they do get Antonio Brown, that's enough. Brady's going to be able to make that work, and they're going to be still damn good.
And Brate's back. He's under contract for another
year. He is. Okay, cool. I didn't think he was a free agent. But, okay, so that's where I go. He's a little bit expendable, and I don't mean that as a disrespect to the player. I just mean to their situation in general.
Yeah. These are all hard situations to look at. All these teams want these players back.
Yeah.
Play the other side here a little bit with Godwin. I mean, he does play in the slot first and can also play outside.
I know. He can.
I don't know if those other two – and. I like Scotty Miller and I like Johnson. I think that Godwin's presence next to the one of Mike Evans makes those other two a lot better.
Well, it does. It does. Yeah. Godwin, if they were a real, like, spread team and we're going to be in the shotgun and getting three and four wide receivers a whole lot, I think he'd have more value as compared to maybe the way they're playing now, which they're going to be tight ends, two receivers – protect them up like we talked about, like we saw in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, it was two- and three-man routes. You better stop the run because we'll overpower you. Oh, but single safety. Brady's going to throw a strike, and their guy's going to get open enough to where he's just going to have enough room to fit it in there.
Right.
And that to me, it doesn't beg on like, oh, we got to have Godwin back. Right. I guess that's my thought.
I think it certainly makes – I mean, the argument makes more sense that Barrett means more to the overall team success than Godwin. But you brought up the name here that, to me, is kind of the wild card X factor. As Brady, you know he's going to have a say. And you know he loves Chris Godwin.
I know that. I only loves Antonio Brown, too, though. And I think Antonio Brown's there because of that. Now, I mean, yes, he's going to want Godwin back. We know that. But I just think in the big picture of things and where their team is at, and we'll hit on defensive ends and edge guys in a little bit, it's a little bit more expendable than I think than Shaq Barrett and some of the other situations.
Right. Quickly thinking about the – and let's see if we get that. We're going to eventually get there. I was going to go defense with the Bucs.
Yeah, don't go there yet.
Don't go there yet.
Yeah.
Final name on this list, Will Fuller.
Yeah, well, that's like I said. There's no way you tag him. There's no way.
Not a chance.
And, you know, I can't even remember. Is his suspension going to go into this next year, or can he start right away? But either way, there's just too much of an injury history.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great bargain deal for somebody. Somebody's going to get him for a nice price, nothing crazy. And he could help their team if he can stay healthy. But that's a big if. That's been a big question mark for him the whole career. You know, I'm thinking about the trade thing more now than anything because I was so focused on how to rank these guys and all of that, too. Because I'm thinking about DeAndre Hopkins. I'm going, damn, that was only a second round they got. But also, teams knew they had to get rid of him.
They didn't get the proper value.
Well, they knew they had to get rid of him because of the Watson contract, and they just paid Laremy Tunsil to be they couldn't give three guys 60% of the salary cap.
It's a hard one to judge as precedent. Because of what you just mentioned.
That's where, I probably need to dive a little deeper into the Allen Robinson, Galladay trade value thing, and I'm sorry that I didn't do that.
I think it's fair. We're in February, kind of sorting these things out. Will Fuller misses week one, Pete? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Right. He misses week one.
Yep, and you know me. I don't like cheaters.
There you go.
I don't. It pisses me off. I wouldn't want it on my team.
Yeah.
I'm not even lying. Like, that's just
for the
not,
PEDs.
That does not fly with me.
Yeah.
I do not fly with that shit.
Yeah.
No.
Same way in college? Like, did you see any of it when you were?
I didn't see any of it in college. I always wanted to be known in locker rooms.
Yeah.
I was always like the loud guy in the locker room. Like, oh, fucking cheater on steroids.
Yeah.
Like, if we were talking about another team or anything like that, you know, there was a few guys throughout my career where I certainly questioned.
Sure.
But I never knew. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew for sure. But there's a handful of guys, and I'm not going to bring out their names, where I just went, hey, there's looking like a Greek god, and then there's looking like a fucking Greek god. Like, what the hell is that?
How did that happen?
Yeah, and that to me was the guys that, you know, jumped out to me at times.
All right, offensive line. And we're going to rank them again based off of importance to their team. This is a big list.
This is.
Offensive line, $13.6 million if you want to tag any of these guys. So I'm just going to run down the list.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right tackle from Carolina, Taylor Moten.
Mm-hmm.
Left guard, Joe Thuney. Or center, David Andrews, both from the Patriots.
Yes.
Okay. Right guard, Brandon Scherff, Washington football team. Jacksonville left tackle, Cam Robinson. Right tackle for Buffalo, Darrell Williams. And center for the Packers, Corey Linsley.
All right, so let's just cancel out a few right here, okay, right? Just so we can get, like, they're not going to be a part of the ranking. Like, David Andrews, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, not franchise, $13.6 million a year. Cam
Crossed
Robinson, no way.
Crossed.
Absolutely not. Darrell Williams, who had a really good year for Buffalo, you know, I like him a lot. He's got value to their team. He's not franchise tag to me either. It hasn't been enough good years in his career to justify me just going, oh, 1 year,
yeah,
here we go, we're going to franchise him. I don't think so.
And they have a real consideration on defense that we'll get to as well with that. Well,
exactly. Yeah. And they need to improve their defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do have a quarterback who, you know, can move and make people miss too, which makes, you know, I guess me feel a little bit better there. They got a guy in Deion Dawkins at left tackle who's special. They got to re-sign John Feliciano at guard, who's pretty damn good too. So that's why I say no to the Darrell Williams. Good player. I don't want to disrespect him anyway,
yeah,
but I don't think he's franchise tag eligible. Now, you get to these other four guys,
mm-hmm,
making me rank them. Holy shitballs, Batman.
Hmm.
I mean, Moten, Thuney, Scherff, and Linsley are really damn good players.
Yep.
Linsley is the best center in football. All right. Scherff is certainly one of the three or four best guards in football. Joe Thuney is one of the best run-blocking guards in football.
And has been there every game since he's been there. Dependable.
And their team is a run-first team right now. So there's his value. And then Taylor Moten is he's one of my favorites. He is a road grader. He does everything good. I've loved Taylor Moten since he came out of the draft. I really have. He was always a guy that I talk highly of.
You've built a case to make any of these guys number one.
Well, I know. That's what I mean. So I'm going to go Scherff one.
Okay.
Okay? Scherff one because, we don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but he's too good of a player, and I think they're going to play a game of, you know, run the ball, play through our defense. I don't think they're going to open it up no matter who they get at quarterback and be like, oh, let's throw it 45 times a game.
No.
That's not what Ron Rivera's coaching. There's no way. So I'm going to make Scherff the number one guy because there's just no way you let a guy that talented at that position out the door. There's no way.
Okay.
So he's number one. Now, I'm going to go Taylor Moten number two.
Mm.
I am. And my reason for this is they are not very good on the offensive line. They traded for Russell Okung last year. I mean, Russell Okung is still a good player. Not going to say he's great. He's also getting up there in age. And I mean, I want to say he missed a handful of games last year. You know, at least 5 or 6 games. I thought around that range.
Okay.
So Taylor Moten's the only marquee guy they got on their offensive line, and they're looking for a big-time quarterback. Christian McCaffrey's still on their team, and that's part of it. I just don't think you can let him out the door. Mm. I think he is a franchise right tackle for a long, long time. And if you can't get a deal done here soon, you definitely franchise
tag
him.
So you tag him with the hope that you're going to sign him up long
definitely.
Time.
Definitely. I think you would try to sign him up long time to something big. He's just getting to the prime of his career.
Right.
You know, so, yes, I would think he'd be a guy you'd start looking at and seeing – you know, yeah, he's going to command, I don't know,
right,
17, 18, 19 million. I don't know, somewhere in that $17 million a year.
Right.
So the franchise that for 13.6 right now, I mean, that's a bargain. Definitely.
You do it all day long.
All day long. So that's going to be my second guy. Thuney will be my third. I'm going to make Joe Thuney my third. And this was not easy between him and Corey Linsley. It was not.
Yeah.
I'm really more – Lindsley's better than Joe Thuney. He's a better player.
And more important to the best player in the league, too.
This is where it gets tricky for me. And, again, I'm not saying I'm right, and certainly anybody out there watching me or wants to talk on, you know, ask me questions and go. I'm not saying I'm right about my thought here either. This is a tough one. But I just look at the New England Patriots right now and go, you're offensively challenged. Mm. Your only offense is the run game. And guys like Joe Thuney and his ability to get to the second level and pull. And nobody really asks more of their offensive line on a scheme basis than the New England Patriots. They do everything on the offensive line. So it's not like it's just like, oh, inside zone, outside zone. It's traps. It's pulling. It's get out here on the screen. He is very important to their overall being of their football team right now. And especially with no wide receivers and we don't know who the hell the quarterback's going to be.
Right.
To me, that's why I make him number three. And then Lindsley, awesome. But they got a lot of resources. I mean, their offensive line's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying a left tackle as the highest paid left tackle in football now already, right? I think he passed up Laremy Tunsil. And even though it's not easy, I mean, you got a quarterback who just, you know, he knows how to get the ball out of his hands and make people miss. So I guess that's where I just gave a little – that's where I gave the tie to Joe Thuney. Just to go, like, yeah, I know it's really important to Rodgers and their offense. I'm certainly not trying to disrespect that. Mm-hmm. But if there's one team and guy at quarterback that I think can maybe, you know, skate around it a little bit, that's why I make him four.
Yeah.
But I don't feel great about that.
If I make an assumption that because Aaron's doing so many things in the line of scrimmage,
it's
probably, I mean, every offense is complex, but that moment when he gets up to the huddle or gets out of the huddle and is at the line of scrimmage, a lot can probably change for the center there, Corey Lindsley.
Definitely. So, it's a very special relationship.
Right.
And it's I argued today with Mike Florio, it's probably the second, you know, tackles, you want that. But center has quietly become just huge because of the things you talked about. All the things that are eating on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Defenses, disguising, moving around, doing all that.
Yeah.
And then the fucking beasts we have at defensive tackle around the league.
Right.
You have to be so versatile and good.
Yes.
You know, okay, I got to snap the ball, and now I got to block Akeem Hicks. He's a giant powerhouse. I got to snap the ball, and now I got to block Aaron Donald, who's quick as hell.
And in the 3 seconds before that, you've got to take what Aaron just said and give out the instructions to the
offensive
line, too.
It's a special, special thing. I mean, he's a damn good player.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing that I play into it a little bit is Green Bay has been pretty good at drafting and finding offensive linemen. So I try to take that into account, too. I mean, they had J.C. Treader before him,
mm-hmm.
and now they get him. So it's just like they're one of those teams that seems to have a good eye for offensive linemen, and that's kind of where I guess I made him number four, too. But I don't feel comfortable about that.
Right.
Yeah.
I used to work with a guy at NFL Network, a former offensive lineman, who totally disregarded the guards. He's like, you can put a bag of bolts at guard. It doesn't matter. Don't spend money on them. Don't draft them. I feel like around when like Quentin Nelson got drafted top 10 and was such a terrific player and so important to that team, that maybe guards are becoming a little more respected. And the fact that you have two of them rated ahead of Lindsley kind of just reminded me of that.
It's still extremely important. It depends on your offense and how you really kind of work that way. But, I think it's that interior part of the offensive line and some of the versatile defenses you see right now, it's very important.
Yeah.
They're all important.
And Pete was telling me something about financially, Pete, and I was listening to Chris while you were talking. Yep. Okay, Thuney and
right.
Scherff, because they were tagged last year, would cost over $17 million per year.
Ooh, man, New England's going to be – that's going to be tough for New England. We'll see. They're not going to be happy about paying any guard $17 million a year, that's for sure.
Joe would like it.
Holy crap, he would.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see where that goes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Scherff, you know, Washington – they're in a really good spot. They can afford to give him a big-time long contract, and I would think they could make him the highest-paid guard in football. I really would think that.
Maybe they go that way and save the tag conversation or consideration for somebody else.
Either way, you get them tagged, you don't let them hit free agents.
Tight ends, what we don't have in quantity here, I think we have in quality.
We do.
Two good ones here,
mm-hmm.
Hunter Henry with the Chargers
and
Jonnu Smith with the Titans.
I'm going to go with Jonnu Smith as number one.
All right.
First off, I think he's more talented than Hunter Henry.
Okay.
I do. I'm gonna take him. You know, neither one of them is like the greatest blockers in the world. I think Jonnu Smith is a little more dynamic in the pass game. Got a little less of an injury history, even though he's been banged up a little bit here and there. And I guess what I just look at, like, Tennessee is so based on their run game, and they're, you know, having a tight end in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Davis is a free agent. No, to me, and then at $8.5 million, like,
I mean, come on, that's kind of a bargain.
It's a no-brainer, right? Yeah. It's a no-brainer. There's no way. So I think that's a for sure. I can't imagine them letting him go with the way they play on the offensive side of the ball.
And they have such a nice formula that's played out since Tannehill's been there.
Yeah.
The wide receivers are like Brown and Davis, like 1 and 1A, and they got the same thing at tight end with Firkser and Smith here. They kind of go together very well.
Yes.
Neither one has awesome numbers, but you put their two numbers together, you're like, wow, I'm getting that out of my top two tight ends.
And
going to find a way to keep that.
Yes, and well, Smith can be, like, explosive. I mean, Smith is the kind of guy who can catch a ball in the flat and turn it up and go 50 and 60 yards with it.
8 touchdowns.
So it's he's a playmaker.
Yeah.
He really is. And you're going play action pass football.
Right.
That's the way you're playing. To me, that's important. Now, they're right now sitting there like right around the salary cap line. They're gonna have to make some moves. I look at their roster a little bit and go, I wonder if Malcolm Butler might be a salary cap casualty.
Somebody will be.
Right?
Yeah.
Roger Saffold, he's a guard who, you know, is getting paid a big amount of money, but, you know, the dead money's not that much. You know, where are they going to trim the fat? I don't know. But either way, I would think Jonah Smith's my number one out of those two.
I thought maybe you would go with Henry just because of how much he means to Justin Herbert. And he wasn't his top target, but he was a really nice one all season long.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you gave consideration to that.
I definitely did. And the other aspect I think of this with, too, is, I mean, all the things you just said, their new offensive coordinator, Joe Lombardi, too, coming from New Orleans Saints.
Right.
I mean, they know how to use the tight end in the pass game. Now, Hunter Henry is, you know, is kind of underwhelming till this year. It's a one-year thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the Chargers, you know, as a whole are in a really good spot salary cap-wise.
Right.
And, you know, they got weapons at receiver. Got issues on the offensive line they need to fix.
Right.
That's why I made him two. So, I mean, again, I like the player a lot. But I wouldn't think, again, that money right there, 8.5 for that player year, I think that's not bad at all.
And if you're in management there in Los Angeles evaluating it, how much do his first 3 years really matter? Because what matters most now is what he's doing with Herbert.
Sure.
Maybe those previous three, I don't want to say you throw them away, but, I mean, what he just did with your quarterback now going into his second year has to matter the most.
They drafted him. I mean, yeah, he's homegrown talent. They see his talent. But, yeah, his inability, I do think, you know, hurts – or his inability to be available – know, might hurt his
And Henry was tagged
long-term.
Last year. He was tagged last
year. So he's going to be up there, too. That's right. So that's so if he's at 8.5, that means that, what, this year he's going to be around 12.7?
Yeah.
Well, either way.
Either
it's,
way,
again,
that's pretty good. I mean,
it's not horrible.
A guard's going to cost you almost, you know, above $17 million, and you can get a tight end.
Well, you'd hope to just get that done and then, again, sign something long term,
right,
to where you give him some more guaranteed money and you lessen that number. Now, you know, again, I don't think he should be anywhere near like the Kelce's or the Kittle's of the world at $15 or $14 million a year. Absolutely not. You know, but Austin Hooperville at 10.5.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, he's not the blocker Austin Hooper is, but he's a better receiver than Austin Hooper is, and I would think that's a number you could live with, and I would think that they could get a deal done either way.
At running back, the same situation we had at quarterback here, Chris. At quarterback, we only talked about Dak Prescott. Running back, there's no ranking to be done because we only have Aaron Jones listed. Would cost you a little over $8 million to franchise him. Would you do it?
I would seriously think about it. I mean, again, I think the Corey Linsley thing plays into this a little bit. You know, they're not, like, necessarily in the best cap space themselves, Green Bay. They're going to have to figure out some things on their roster and trim some fat, too.
Right.
You know, you look at a guy like, you know, Preston Smith, I don't know, Adrian Amos, some of those guys, could they trim some fat there and gain some money? You know, they don't have an explosive game breaker on their offense other than Aaron Jones, for my money. Devontae Adams is awesome. I don't think he's an explosive game breaker. This is where, again, I'll say this until I'm blue in the face. I don't think Devontae Adams is a top five receiver. You'll never hear me say that. He's awesome. We saw in the playoffs, though. Where was he? I don't know. He wasn't there. It wasn't, teams weren't doubling Davante Adams. It wasn't like doing that. Mm. You know, he's really good. He's awesome. He fits there. But that's where I like Aaron Jones a lot. And they are a, you know, again, a Shanahan, LaFleur, run team, stuff like that. For that number, 8.5?
Bargain.
Yes.
Let's back up and look at it this way. Aaron Rodgers, obviously the most important part of that offense.
Yeah.
Number two, Davante Adams. You think he's the second most?
Yes.
Okay. Does Jones belong at third?
Maybe go Bakhtiari second. And okay. Then, but, Davante Adams,
too. Let me change the categories.
Yeah, no. Davante Adams is number two after
Rodgers. So Adams, two. In terms of playmakers, guys who are going to touch the ball.
Right.
Is Jones third?
Yes, he is.
So then with that offense and how it's driving it there, I mean, it's hard to imagine that offense proceeding without him.
I'm with you. I would think that, too. I would think that,
too. So maybe a long-term deal.
Yeah, hopefully. You know, what scares me with the long-term deal is now what's he going to ask for?
I think Dalvin Cook is above 12 a year,
right?
Pete.
It's somewhere in there.
12 to 15?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Derrick Henry's at 12, which was like a steal for them.
Yeah.
You know, there's the cautionary tale of the running back, and I hit this with Florio a little today. Like, okay, you got the scary ones in like Ezekiel Elliott, McCaffrey got hurt. You know, this year you're paying him like, you know, $16 million. I'm missing somebody else too who didn't pan out of the position. David Johnson, right? So there's a lot of like, oh, do we want to do that? But there is also, hey, Dalvin Cook doing pretty damn good for their team. You know, Derrick Henry, of course, what we just talked about. Alvin Kamara, he's really important to what they do too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to pay him that kind of money.
Would you pay him, and again, if we're setting kind of Dalvin Cook as the baseline here, would you do it for 10% less than his contract?
Well, let's see. So, like, yeah, you're saying something around like the $10 million a year range.
I think he's above 12. So that would put Aaron 10-ish.
Yeah, 10-ish.
For a long-term deal.
I would be hesitant. As much as I like Aaron Jones, the game is still being driven through Aaron Rodgers on that offensive side of the ball. And, hey, they do got a running back they drafted in the second round last year.
Williams?
Yeah, Dillon.
Corey Dillon. Yeah.
Yeah, not Corey, AJ.
Yeah.
Corey's the old Bengals
one.
Yeah, but one of those Dillons. But, yes, you know, they got him. And then, I'm a believer of, unless that running back's like ultra, ultra special.
Dillon's a lot different, though, than Jones.
I know. I would have a hard time throwing out big money. If I'm Green Bay, I would try to ride the franchise thing for a year and see where it goes.
Yeah.
He's not a real big guy either. You know, I'd be worried a little bit about him starting to wear down, get beat up, maybe slow down that way. We'll see where that goes. But I think at 8.5, you do it.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Defense, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's start with edge.
Yeah.
Edge linebacker / defensive end. The linebacker is going to cost you $14.6 million. Defensive end, $14.5 million. Again, we're going to rank them on importance to their team.
Yeah.
Shaq Barrett, Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Judon and Ngakoue in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Leonard Williams for the Giants. Carl Lawson, Bengals. Bud Dupree, you mentioned him earlier, for the Steelers. Hassan Reddick, Arizona.
Right. So let's just off the bat, like.
You're going to eliminate?
Let's eliminate. Like, you know, Lawson, I really like Carl Lawson in Cincinnati. Anybody that's been listening to my podcast since back in the Bleach Report days, that was like one of my hidden gems in the draft. Watch out for this guy. But no, you're not franchise tagging him. No, he's got an injury history. There just hasn't been enough production there for me to justify that. All right, now, Hassan Reddick. Absolutely not for me. I mean, absolutely not. I like him again, but it's a three-game span. I mean, his whole career is like three games this year where he had a bunch of sacks that put him into this like sack category. So there's no way I'm franchise tagging him either and being stuck with that on my list. And they need some guys on their front. You know, I just don't think you do that. So right off the bat, I say no to that. Let's go to the Bud Dupree conversation.
Okay.
Bud Dupree is a franchise tag talent. He is that. He tore his ACL in what, a week 12? A week 11? Somewhere in that range?
Late, yeah.
You know, that injury might end up helping Pittsburgh is my thought on this, really. Because, one, they have salary cap issues. So I'm saying I don't think they're going to franchise tag him. I don't think I would franchise tag him. You know, you got T.J. Watt, who at some point you're going to have to pay big money to here, too. And that's got to be on the horizon. But the other reason I guess I would say is, you know, this might be one of those scenarios that works out for Pittsburgh where the market doesn't explode after Bud Dupree because a lot of teams might sit there and go, I'm not sure he's going to be able to play for us the first few games of the year. He might not be able to really help us. Are we going to really throw out like, you know, $16, $17 million a year to that? You know, so I really think there might be a chance to where they can not franchise tag him, let him sit there, kind of play the market, and maybe they can swoop in and go, hey, we like you here, you know that, and you like being here too.
Playing some poker.
And just maybe be able to get him for some sort of a short-term value type deal.
Yep.
And then see where it goes, you know, a year or two from now. So that's where I would say no to the franchise tag there.
Good explanation.
Okay.
Though. Yep.
All right. So now you get to the other three guys and – Three teams, four guys. All right, so Matt Judon, no. Let me cross him out too. No way am I franchise. There's just not enough there. I like the player, physical, just not enough of a difference maker to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's too many moments during the year where I look at it and just go, I don't know. I mean, I know he set the edge and did things like that, but he just didn't pop off the screen or where I went, oh, I mean, if the Ravens don't have him, they can't survive.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way.
UT Matt and asked basically that this topic right here, would you rather tag Judon or Ngakoue?
Yeah.
Judon has been more consistent, but Ngakoue popped more for the little time he's been there.
Exactly right. And I think that's the thing. Added to the they traded to get him, and they're slow up front.
Mm.
They got plenty of size. They don't have speed. They went and got Yannick Ngakoue because they were like, these fucking mobile quarterbacks, we can never catch them.
Yeah.
And we always have to blitz them, and then they burn us against the blitz. So I that's where I think Yannick Ngakoue, I would make him my number three on this, okay? That's Yannick Ngakoue. We'll go 3-2-1 on this one now since we're here stuck with this. Yannick Ngakoue would be number three, though, because, yes, I don't think, you know, they have that type of guy.
Yeah.
And if you're in the AFC, size, physicality, hey, the Ravens got plenty of that to go around. They need some pop, speed off the edge, can run down the Mahomes, the Baker Mayfields, the Joe Burrows, and do that type of stuff. To me, that's where it makes sense. You got good corners, too.
Yes.
Like, why do we don't always have to blitz and leave them on an island. Let's rush four and drop seven every now and then. We just saw a team in the Super Bowl
do that.
Pretty
well for the Bucs,
right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So that's where I go Yannick Ngakoue gets the advantage to me.
I like it. I'm going to anticipate where you're going with your second ranking here by reading at Frogru67 says, hello, son of the great Phil Sims.
Should the
G-men tag the big cat Leonard Williams or Dalvin Tomlinson? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like that. First time, long time, huh? That sounds like right there. Yes, they should. They should. I like Dalvin Tomlinson. He's a big, physical, double-team force in the middle. But they're another team. I mean, I talked about them all year. It's the biggest fucking defensive line in football.
Right.
They don't need more. They don't have any disruption guys. Leonard Williams is that guy. Plus, they traded for him, too. And Leonard Williams in that Patrick Graham, New England-y type of defense, he's their kind of guy. You know, first off, they're in pretty good shape as far as, like, not horrible. They got $8 million of cap space, and I'm sure they can improve that. But I would think he is franchise tag material all the way. He's their best pure pass rusher. He's their most disruptive in the run game. And then for that defense and the way they play, you know, he is New England-y. Oh, this week we're playing a team that's a little more pass-oriented. Okay, we're going to put you at defensive tackle and let you be a mismatch for the inside. Oh, this week we're playing a really big physical run team. Now you're back at defensive end because we got another D-tackle we'll put in there that's bigger
chameleon.
Than you. He's a chameleon. That's what I mean. So that's where I would go. I would go him, and that's why I make him number two.
Bringing us to the Buccaneers, Shaq Barrett. I'm going to make you Jason Light here for the next couple of minutes here. You want to keep him?
Yeah.
He's going to be 29 this year. What's your plan in terms of the tag and the possibility of long-term?
Well, of course, he is long-term. I mean, you want to keep him. He's a special football player.
And you said earlier that this would be your priority as opposed to Chris Godwin.
This would be my priority. You know, because JPP is getting up there in years. He's a good player. He's not making huge money. I think he's around like $12 million. You know, and Ndamukong Suh, we'll see where he's at. I doubt he's even going to be re-signed for the same amount of money he got last year. So they'll be able to get him if they get him back for less. You know, Vita Vea, who's a really good player, hasn't been able to play much.
Right.
They don't think they have to worry about a contract with him yet, at least for another 2 years or so. And Shaq Barrett is a true – Shaq Barrett's a type of talent. One, he plays well against the run. Two, as you see, you know – players win games. You know, he was a big reason why they beat Green Bay. He's a big reason why they beat Patrick Mahomes. He made plays and did things in one-on-one scenarios where he just said, fuck you, I'm going to beat you. And, you know, there's just not that many guys in the sport. He is capable of being a double-digit sack guy year after year after year.
And he will not be happy with the tag again.
I wouldn't think so. So, you know, you just got to tag him just to get the deal done and figure that out. But there's no way you let him hit free agency because someone's going to steal him if you get to that point. And they're sitting pretty.
The Bucs?
$29 million in cap space right now.
You think they could find a way to keep Barrett and Lavonte David? Because David, as he pairs with White, I mean, that really makes them special.
I know it does, you know, but Devin White, I would think in another year here, might be asking for a contract.
Lot.
Yeah, I mean, Devin White, I mean, if he has another year like he just did, right? This was his second year. If he has a third year the way he just did.
Highest paid.
Exactly. He's going to be able to – he's the best linebacker in football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is. So that's where it's hard there. How much money and resources are you going to spend there? Can you get Lavonte David to maybe take a little bit of a hometown discount? I don't know. He's made pretty good money through his career.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be tough. I don't think they can keep all three, that's for sure, with Shaq Barrett, Godwin, and him.
Mm.
I mean, I think one falls by the wayside.
How would you rate
him?
So you got Barrett one?
Yeah, Barrett one. I mean, I would say Godwin is two at this point of his career to where David is, who's getting up there in years.
Did a great job covering Kelce in the Super Bowl.
I know. He's phenomenal. Yeah. I don't like to say, like, get rid of him or anything like that. I don't like that. I don't want to say that. But, you know, again, I think the reason I would – Godwin's a better player at this point of his career than David, but, you know, like we talked about, Godwin, there's a little more flexibility at the position to go, okay, we can let him go to where, yeah, middle linebackers are when they're awesome, they make your defense, and those two make their defense.
Mm-hmm. Anything else on the Bucs or Barrett before we move on to the safeties?
I think we hit it all there. You know, there's guys like Trey Hendrickson who people, like, I hear, like, oh, but there's no way. You don't franchise tag Trey Hendrickson. There's no way. Not off of 1 year. And I don't think he's that special. He's a good pass rusher, a good player, but not a franchise tag talent to me either way. And they got a lot of money tied up in that D-line there already, and they have major salary cap issues. So there's no way that's happening.
Safety.
Yeah.
Going to rank them on importance to their team like we did with the rest of them. Justin Simmons in Denver, Marcus Williams or Trey Hendrickson, you just mentioned. Keanu Neal, Atlanta, Marcus May with the Jets, John Johnson with the Rams, and Anthony Harris, Vikings.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, let's go to the cancel it out thing again.
Yep.
You know, one, Marcus May I don't think is in that category.
Yep.
No, I mean, you know, Marcus May, this was really his first standout year. So I don't think you're going to spend huge money on that. Keanu Neal, man, do I love Keanu Neal when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But it's just been too many times where he's not. And
right.
He's a car crash safety, and that would just scare me to death. And they got a lot of issues to deal with, too. You know, they're $12 million under the salary cap right here. So no way am I throwing out, like, franchise tag money to Keanu Neal right now. Anthony Harris is a good one. Like, we talked about it on the show today originally. You know, at first I was like, I think they might, this Zimmer, they might franchise tag him. You know, his defense, his secondary is his little baby. But damn, they got so many holes. The more I thought about it, and Mike made a lot of good points, he kind of swayed me this way to where I just went, yeah, no, you're not going to, you know, Harris and Smith still making a pretty little penny. You know, they got Anthony Barr and Kendricks at middle linebacker who are making huge money. Mm. Of course, Danielle Hunter. And then they need a lot on the rest of their defensive line needs help. You know, and they got some young corners I like and all of that. But I would say Anthony Harris is no. You know, not for a second straight year. So I'm going to say no there too. Now, the other three, I like these other three players. But I'm going to make Marcus Williams for the Saints number three.
Okay.
Just because of, like, I like him. He's worthy. He's very close to worthy to franchise tag talent to me. But they have, like we just talked about, issues there. You know, you got a Marshawn Lattimore. They got, you know, Jack Rabbit, you know, from the New York Giants. I'm blanking
Janoris
on
Janoris Jenkins.
Yeah, Janoris Jenkins. Thank you. Blanking out on his name. They got Malcolm Jenkins. They got too many issues to where I'm going to make him number three on this list because maybe they think about it, but I don't think it's really realistic to think that's going to happen.
Right.
No way.
Can you imagine being a GM? All these issues? It's, like,
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. Well, sometimes I sit here and go, I wish I didn't have to worry about the whole league and I could just worry about one team.
Right.
So
there is that too.
So, but either way.
So you have Williams at three.
Williams at three. Now, the other two are fucking baller supreme. I mean, baller supreme. And to me, the modern day NFL safety. I'm going to make John Johnson number two.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Simmons is, we'll get there, is arguably the best safety in football. I mean, he's special, but they're both special. And they're both special in this aspect. They're phenomenal in coverage. I mean, phenomenal. And they're ball hawks as far as tracking people down, but they got great range in the back end. You can depend on them to cover man-to-man and do those type of things. And the other thing is, they're not Ronnie Lott, like headhunter, thumper type of guys, right? They're not that.
It's not like a big time requirement.
But
now.
It doesn't matter. Exactly right. All I want, you're a safety.
Yeah.
Save me from not letting up an 80-yard touchdown. Make the fucking tackle. I don't really care how hard you hit them. Mm-hmm. And that's to me where they're awesome. Yeah. They don't miss tackles in the open field. You know, so Justin Simmons and John Johnson to me are no brainers. Now the Rams have major issues. Salary cap.
What's the biggest one?
Gosh, well, I mean, they're just so far. They're $26 million below.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're gonna do there. I don't know if they can realistically think about paying another guy this type of money when you got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey as the two highest paid guys in their position already.
Right.
That's where it gets tricky.
Can they afford to tag him?
I'm not sure they can either. I'm not sure. At this point right now, I would probably say no. I would. And, I mean, they're going to have to do some major.
$10.5 million
yeah,
to tag him.
I know. And it's not a crazy number for that guy. He's worth more than that on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah.
You know, like, John Johnson to me is, he's every bit as good as Honey Badger in Kansas City and some of the other guys that are making $14 million a year.
Maybe
Kevin Byard. Yeah. I mean, Kevin Byard in Tennessee, I'm taking John Johnson.
Yeah.
So that's where it's tough, but they're in a bind. I mean, they're in a bind. When you look at this right here, Aaron Donald this year is $27.8 million. Jalen Ramsey at $22.5 million. And now they got Matthew Stafford at $20 million. Those guys right there make up 36, 37% of their cap.
Wow.
Yeah, just three guys right there. So now you're going to put another guy that's in that range of what? $12, $13 million. You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's realistic to ask them to tag him. I think they're going to have a hard time keeping him, honestly. I do.
Bringing us to Justin Simmons from Denver. He's your number one guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to read two questions here. Yeah. I got a lot of questions last night of people anticipating this part of the show, so I'm going to read them both. Mm-hmm. They kind of get at the same thing. At Grant Johnson 5, should the Broncos tag Justin Simmons again? I know he wants to be the highest paid safety in the league, but as a fan, when I watch him, I don't feel like he pops on TV like the best safety in the league should. And Plug and Play 16 says, would you like to see the Broncos tag Simmons or come to terms on a long-term deal? He means so much to the Broncos and Broncos country.
I want to see him. I don't think you can let him out the door. I don't think he is. First off, in Vic Fangio's defense, that's a very important position. You go back to his days with the 49ers and Deshaun Goldson. You go to the Bears with Eddie Jackson. He asks a lot of those guys. He does. And, again, when we talk about the best safeties in football, see, this is where he's not like the sexiest thing, because you don't always see like highlight plays where you just go, oh my gosh, he's just like a blur on the screen, and it's pick six, and when he hits you, he knocks your head off and do all those things. But for my money, he's...
You think he's the best one in the league?
He's right up there with it. Yeah, I do.
We talked about ball hawking, range, reliable tackler.
Yes. He is arguably the best safety in football.
Who's up there with him?
Buda Baker. Mm. Okay, I'll throw him in there. Let me see if there's a...
Byard?
Oh, Jamal Adams, of course, is the best safety in football for my money. I think Eddie Jackson is really high up on the list. I feel like I'm missing somebody else.
The Honey Badger.
Said Honey Badger.
Safe to call him top three?
Yeah, no doubt. The more I just sit here and go, Jamal Adams is the best. You know, Buda Baker and Justin Simmons to me would be in that
right
fight
there.
For number two.
Okay.
They would be. Yeah, he doesn't maybe, I would probably say he's three. Because Buda Baker is a heat-seeking missile. Yeah. He has no regard for his body. And he throws himself around like he thinks he's 270 pounds and he's just made of concrete.
Right.
Justin Simmons isn't quite that way, but man, he's a really, really good player. Oh, Jesse Bates. That's who I was thinking about. Way to go, Pete. That to me would probably be the second best safety. I would go Jamal Adams, Jesse Bates, and then Buda Baker and Justin Simmons conversation.
So with him, it's interesting because it would be tagging him for the second time.
I know.
Do you go that route, which it costs you between 13 and 14 mil, Pete, I believe.
Probably around there, right.
For a second one. If he's that good and he fits that well in Vic Fangio's scheme, why not just keep him there for long term?
Yeah, and I think
find a way to do it.
I would think they try to do that. I would. I would think that it doesn't seem like Von Miller is going to be back there. They're going to be able
not
to open up
price,
some
yeah.
space here. And they're in a good spot already. I mean, they're almost at $40 million in cap space.
Mm.
To me, all I'm saying is, we want a long-term deal. You're going to have to probably pay him something $14 million a year.
Right.
Okay, so what? But yes, you're definitely not letting him hit free agency and doing that. I mean, so what? 13.5, whatever it is. Who the fuck cares? You want him back on your team.
Right. Yeah. Linebacker, we have one.
Yeah.
We're only one. Matt Milano, Buffalo at Red Knight. Kid asks, should the Bills tag and trade Milano?
I wouldn't tag and trade him. I would not. I really like Matt Milano a lot as a football
player.
Every
time I watch the Bills to get ready for the show, like really dive in, he's everywhere.
He is everywhere. Now, he's a little undersized, and he does have an injury history. And they got a guy in Tremaine Edmonds who they drafted in the first round a few years ago who's going to be coming up here too.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. It really is.
You could tag him and pay him 14.6.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd be willing to pay him 14.6 quite right now. I don't know if I would be willing to do that. I wouldn't. The health of the player would scare me just a little bit. It would. And he's a damn good football player, and he fits what they do.
Tag and trade third rounder?
Probably somewhere but I don't even know. I'd have to look at that a little bit.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at that. But I don't think he is – I don't think – they got to do some reshuffling on their defensive side of the ball.
Which level the most?
Gosh, their whole front seven. I mean, their whole front seven. It's just there's nothing there.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no great pass rusher anymore. Addison and Jerry Hughes were average at best. There's no D tackle to speak of that's a disruptor.
How's Oliver been?
Oliver's been not great. It has not lived up to top 10 pick billing. There's no doubt. He's been disappointing to me. I thought he would be a better player.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think they got to look to go. We got to improve a lot of things on our defense. They need corners. Their defense has issues. And I just don't think I would allocate that kind of money to Matt Milano right now.
All right.
Yeah.
I kind of thought you might say you got to keep this guy.
I love the player. It hurt me because I really love the player. And I see what you see.
Yeah.
You know, he does pop. But what, you know, I think he only played 5 or 6 games this year.
Yeah, he's been limited.
He's missed a bunch of games his rookie year. If I remember right, the second or third year, he missed a few games there too. That just would scare me about an undersized middle linebacker to throw that kind of money out there, especially when you're, you know, your salary cap situation is not the best and you got some things to figure out.
One name at corner, we go to the NFC, $14.9 million to tag Shaq Griffin.
No way. Not even
a consideration.
Not for me. There's no way. No, I mean, Seattle, you know, again, let me just check their, you know, I don't think they're in like the worst spot in the world. They're right at league average, but I don't think he justifies that type of money. You know, again, if you're going to be a corner and you're talking franchise to me, that means you got to be locked down. You got to be able to, we can trust you against anybody, and you can't do that with him. So there's no, he's not in that category.
That's every position.
Woo, we did it.
That's the whole thing.
We did it.
Man, that is that's diving into some offseason stuff.
And, you know, listen, anybody out there listening, whatever else, you know, if we want to talk more trade value and all that, I'll dive into that a little bit more. You know, I probably dropped the ball a little there by just looking at ranking, what I do.
Are you talking about the receiver? Late,
yeah.
From a late first or
late second? Yeah, late second, yeah. So we'll see. I got to think about that a little more. And
I don't know if you're really off. I mean, that the Hopkins thing throws it off because the situation last year.
The situation was
dysfunctional. They only got a second for him and all
that. Right.
So I don't think a late first, early second for Galladay and Robinson. I don't
think
that's
crazy?
No.
All right.
I don't know if it'll happen or not.
Good. Thanks for making me feel
nothing
better.
Went off in my head like, woo, he's really out there on
that
one.
Okay, good, good.
We have some Ask Me Anythings.
Whoop, whoop.
I think these are pretty interesting and fun. So, Pete, nice job picking them out. At Vish Kamaran says or asks, what is your process when it comes to how you study quarterbacks before the draft? How is it that your track record is so much better than the other analysts? Is your thought process different?
Well, thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I do think that I think my process is a little different. I do. I think here's the biggest thing. One, I look for just talent, pure talent.
I was going to say that while you were thinking, I'm like, he doesn't talk himself out of recognizing the raw talent.
Raw talent to me is the number one thing. So one, I go, okay. He's got talent, okay. Let me just make sure he's not a total idiot here, and just total free fall. Is it decisions that are just so stupid and everything like that? All right, so that's the next thing I do. Without getting into some other nitty-gritty details, the other thing, too, is I don't give a damn about the wins or the losses or the stats.
Right.
You know, that's how, to me, I was able to hit on guys like Justin Herbert last year, who I said, you know, had a higher ceiling than Burrow or Mahomes or things like that. The other thing you have to, I think, ask yourself, okay, we see the guy's got talent. Now, wait, the wins aren't that good and some of the stats in the games aren't that good. Okay, so now let's look at that and let's evaluate that realistically. You know, one, why do we always put wins and losses on the quarterback? I don't know. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, I could sit there and we go back and watch games and go, well, who the fuck did you think Texas Tech was supposed to beat? I don't care who's that quarterback. Who's supposed to beat? And then, you know, when people picked him apart, there was a few games where people always pointed to, oh, this game scares me. And that, okay, now let's go back and do we realistically think he was the problem in that game?
Right.
Was there plays there to be had that I went, how did he miss that throw? Or that guy's wide open, and how did he see that? You know, that's what I came with Justin Herbert last year. I kept going, okay, threw an incompletion here. Nobody was open.
Right.
He tried to put a ball, and he put the ball right in the spot where it was a safe throw, and his receiver might have not been good enough, or the coverage was so good enough that, you know, he couldn't fit it in there. But I didn't look at it and go, man, Herbert just, he can't find anybody open. No, there was nobody open.
Yeah. And you weren't afraid last year to kind of call up that offense and say he was doing pretty well with what they were putting in position to do
because
the offense wasn't that good.
You have to be able to realistically look at that and go, wait, is it realistic to ask of more in this game from the guy?
Right.
So that was the other thing I do. And then, you know, on the flip side of that, just for recent memory here, okay, then a guy like Tua, where I go, hey, listen, there's a lot to like, but damn, you know, again, people are wide open.
Yeah.
The throws are so easy. Let's not over, you know.
You put a lot of stock into it. Like you said a lot with Tua. You've said with a number of other quarterbacks.
Yeah.
What's he do when things get tough around him?
That's the NFL. That's the NFL. I mean, listen, if we're going to go by wins and stats, then every Alabama quarterback should be the number one pick in the draft. Everyone.
Right.
It's going to be fun
to talk about Mac Jones next
couple
months,
too. Well, listen, and I'll say that right now. I've already seen enough of Mac Jones to go, he makes more NFL throws than Tua did.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I would be shocked if Mac Jones is not one of the risers of the draft here. I see people have him at the end of the first round, and I just go, I don't think so.
Especially if three or four go in the top five. I mean, the number of teams between 5 and 25, they're going to want quarterbacks, too.
If you made me bet right now, and I'm just starting on these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But if you made me bet right now, Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Mac Jones, all going top 10.
Top 10.
All top 10. There's no, I don't, as I just look at it right now, I think for sure.
I was going to set the over under at 10 and see what you said on
right.
Jones.
No, this Trey Lance is the one I'm really like just off of TV scouting and things that I've seen just a little here so far. I got major questions about that one.
Yeah.
And we'll see where Kyle Trask is from Florida and all that. I haven't really got to look at him real hard, but. You know, just because we're on it, yeah. Okay, I know Mac Jones was playing some real talented guys too, but I saw too many throws where, you know, ooh, he changed his arm delivery and has people around him and he fits it in there. And,
yeah.
Ooh, the pocket's collapsing and he throws another 25-yard strike downfield. That's football in the NFL.
Right.
That's what made Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow special this year in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many plays where you go, there's nothing really there. They still got a 20-yard completion. Look at that.
Yeah.
You know, and that to me is what I look for more times than not.
I saw him play in person this year, and I was really impressed. His command of the ball and his balance,
right?
He gets it out quickly, went to the right place all the time, accurately. Huge props to Steve Sarkisian. That scheme was awesome.
Awesome.
They out-scheme people all the time.
They had
great talent, I know.
Right.
But the play calling was terrific. But I liked him a whole lot more than I thought I would, too.
Yeah, I know. The control of the ball is the thing that – it's a perfect spiral every throw.
Yep.
It's on the money, everything. Only thing I'll just say right off the bat that I don't like about Mac Jones, I don't like the way he looks in his uniform. I mean, that's the only thing I say so far. He just doesn't look cool. Other than that, I like everything
pretty
else.
Pretty cool winning every game.
Well, exactly right. So who gives a shit how you look if you're winning every game?
All right. That's a lot of quarterback. Good preview stuff.
Thank you.
It's going to be a fun few weeks coming up there. Got a couple other Ask Me Anythings. At JCoral49, what are the biggest misconceptions about the quarterback position at the college level and the NFL? I guess we are talking a little more quarterbacks.
Yeah, okay. Well, the biggest misconceptions, I think, I think people think always like, oh, it's a bigger jump from high school to college. You know, that's the first thing. Then it is college and the NFL. And I would go, no, I don't think it is.
You think it's a bigger jump?
I think it's a bigger jump going college and the NFL.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
You know, and I'll say the other misconception is, you know, when people say, oh, it's, you know, the speed of the game. Yeah, sure. The speed of the game is faster in the NFL, but not because actually like, hey, listen, you know, Mac Jones, like we're saying, he's throwing to guys that are NFL receivers and he's going against NFL DBs. That's not the thing. It's about nobody messes up. You know, in the NFL, all the guys are in their playbook all week long. It's all football. The room for error is zero. There's more on your plate mentally. There's more on your plate mentally to figure out what they're doing. And the biggest thing I always go back to is even in the SEC, where, I mean, Greek gods are growing on trees on the defensive line, you're still going to play a handful of teams where you go, there's one pro on their defensive line.
Right.
When you get to the NFL, you will get in games in the preseason or early on in the regular season, and you're going to go, holy shit, every fucking guy coming after me is giant and huge. And the pocket, when I was in college, felt really comfortable and cozy. And now comfortable and cozy is not that comfortable and cozy is what they're expecting.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, to me was the big adjustment in the NFL.
And you don't see any quarterbacks in the NFL looking over to the sideline at six different signs for the play call. So the jump, and you talked about what's on them mentally.
Yes.
The advancement and what's expected of them from play call to snap is 10 times harder.
10 times more. You get the 20-hour rule in college football.
Right.
There's no limit rule in the NFL. No limit. It's all day long.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At the theater, more than the movies come to life. Movie lovers march in and skip the line with digital tickets to the latest movies on the free Fandango app. Ready to grab some snacks.
Pick me!
And head to the best seats in the house for a night of romance, terror, and quality family screen time. Visit Fandango.com or download the app today for your ticket to the movies.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Quarterback Jeopardy, you ready?
Oh, baby.
So I think after a week off.
You guys don't know anymore. You guys are all over the place. Oh, gosh. When you say it's hard, it's easy. When you say it's easy, it's hard. I don't know.
This is a collaboration. Pete's kind of like Drake. Pete steps in and adds his name to it, collects money on the side.
Right.
Makes it a little bit harder, a little more well-rounded. But Pete definitely has his fingerprints on this one,
too. Okay, good.
All right, so this is off-season quarterbacks in the news. So, guys, you've been hearing about their names, trades, speculated trades. Maybe they want to leave a place. So just guys we've been hearing about here recently. This is not the draft at all.
Yeah.
They're all guys in the league right now.
Okay.
100 points. Of all the quarterbacks we're hearing about right now, trades, speculation, or pending free agency, there's only one who started every game of his career. Who is he? All the quarterbacks are coming up now.
I know.
One of them. Every game
Watson
of his career,
got hurt
he's been the,
with that
he's been
ACL. Russell Wilson.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy?
It's unbelievable.
Every single game.
Yeah.
With the way he plays, too.
And with the way he plays. Like, I don't like that he talked about all the sacks and offensive line stuff. That was a little bit of a low blow to his team because I want to go, Russell, you know. Listen, there's nothing wrong with it. You got to live or die with that a little bit. He makes too many plays, but a lot of those sacks, you know.
It's the same way when Roethlisberger was playing the way Ben used to play. He's going to have more sacks because of the way he plays.
Exactly right.
But respect for 144 consecutive starts in the regular season.
That's
since
insane.
2012.
Insane.
It's nuts. 200. The Jared Goff for Matthew Stafford trade is the biggest QB trade news we've seen in a long time. The first trade ever where teams swap former number one overall picks. Name the other two quarterbacks picked number one overall who are about to become free agents.
Oh, okay. The other they're about to become.
There's potentially three.
So they're number the number one pick in the draft?
They were the number one pick in their draft.
Okay.
About to become free agents.
Number one pick in their draft, about to become. Ooh, this is tough here. Wait, hold on a second here.
I have confidence in you here.
You do?
I do.
So now I'm pulling up the teams. Number one picks in their draft.
In their draft.
And they're about to become free agents. Like the true number one pick.
Yeah, not just the number one quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I was.
One, yeah.
Okay. Hold on a second here.
And there's actually a third. I had two. Pete added the third. He was correct. He added a third that might join these two as well. So if you get, Pete, what do you say? If he gets two of the three, thumbs up? Yeah.
Who the hell am I missing here? This one's actually making me. This one is actually making me choke to death here. And you're talking about 2021, they can be free agents.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So Alex Smith is one.
There you go. That's the one Pete added that I didn't have.
Okay.
Pete, nice add.
Okay.
And there are two others that I thought were more obvious.
Holy crap. Who am I? Hold on a second here. Hold on. I'm pulling up the teams here and looking at teams, and I am Jameis Winston.
There you go.
I don't know why for a second I was going, Jameis Winston's the number two pick. That's not, he's number one.
He was one and Mariota was two.
Yes, right. Because my mind went to Mariota, actually, but I was like, wait, he's not a free agent either.
So you've already named two.
I never named two.
You get the 200. The other one played all year. Winston didn't really play. The other one played all year.
What is wrong with?
Played on a new team. Didn't play well.
Stop. Be quiet. Hold on a second. What the hell? Who am I missing here? See, this is
This is where the pressure is getting.
Literally a
Cam
big
Newton.
One. There you go.
Holy crap. Woo!
Yeah.
See, the easy one sometimes
that
the pressure gets
to me. That would have bothered you.
That really would have bothered
me. I'm happy for your family time tonight that you got
that. Flustered me right there.
For 300. Now that Goff and Carson Wentz have been traded, only one of the 15 quarterbacks in the 2016 draft class remains with the team that drafted him.
Okay.
Who is he?
2015.
No, one of the 15. So 15 quarterbacks were taken in 16.
Yeah, 16.
And after that trade, there's only one who's with his original team, which is crazy. 16 wasn't that long ago.
Dak Prescott?
Yes.
Oof, man.
Dak Prescott, exactly in the middle. He was the eighth of 15 taken.
Yep.
In between Connor Cook and Cardale Jones.
Hey, Dak Prescott's one of the ones that, you know, you talk about, I learned from that one. I learned from that draft to go, wait, Dak had everything you like about a quarterback. The team, the support wasn't there.
Right.
That was one that, you know, opened
my eyes.
You
put too much stock into Mississippi State.
A little bit.
Why didn't they beat Georgia?
Exactly. Why weren't the stats a little better? Yeah. You know, like, yeah, okay, that was stupid. That was one I still kick myself for that one.
Well,
yeah.
All you can do is learn.
Yeah, that's right.
400. Deshaun Watson, the third quarterback playing for a Houston NFL franchise to lead the league in passing yards. Who were the other two?
Okay, so we know Warren Moon.
Yep.
All right. Wow.
Not Oliver Luck.
Oh.
Not Archie Manning.
Then Matt Schaub?
Yes.
Woo.
That was too easy. Now,
see, that's what's weird. It's like
I thought you might sweat a little and have to go to the computer and like really think about it.
Matt Schaub is, you know, he's my draft class. You know, what's amazing about Matt Schaub, you want to hear this crap.
He's still in the league, isn't he?
I think he's just retired. Okay. He's kind of saying this past year. But, you know, I'm trying to think of how it worked. Like, he didn't really play and got traded to Houston and got big money.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm playing and we go to the playoffs and I fucking settle for a tender. and didn't get shit, and then lost my spleen. I still look at that and go, what the fuck
did
I do there? Yeah, exactly right.
I think I remember watching an ACC game for some reason, like in the early 2000s. It was Matt Schaub in Virginia against Phillip Rivers. And I'm probably exaggerating here, but I think like three balls hit the ground for like three quarters.
I wouldn't.
It was insane how good those two were.
Schaub was, you know, he was a lot better than people give him credit for.
Played in the league for forever.
Yeah, he did some really good things down there in Houston. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Now, this is the one, I know you're thinking about going 5 out of 5.
Yeah.
I think the train stops here.
Okay.
Okay, for 500, Big Ben has thrown 20 or more touchdown passes. I'm sorry. He's thrown 20 plus touchdown passes, 20 or more, to five different players. Name four of them.
Okay, here we go.
Yep. 20 or more touchdowns in his career to five different players. We need to know four of them.
Antonio Brown.
There you go. There's one.
Santonio Holmes. No?
That's a no.
Okay, fine. Damn. All right, let me just keep naming them, though.
Yeah.
Let me just see.
Because we only need four. We didn't write down anything about incorrect answers.
Mike Wallace?
Yeah, that's what I didn't think you'd get. Mike Wallace. To me, the other three.
Don't tell me yet. I want to see if I can get them. I just want to see if I can just do it here. Oh, man. I want to say Hines Ward. I'm just not sure if he did Hines hang in there long enough to catch some of those passes and do that. I am going to say it.
Yep.
Okay. So it is Hines.
Hines.
All right.
Two others.
All right. Two others. This is where I'm a little stuck right now. You know, damn, did he? I don't think Juju is there yet. I don't think there's enough there with Juju. I'm missing somebody that's going to be obvious.
Ooh. So I'm going to go back to the wording here.
Yeah, go ahead.
20 or more touchdown passes to five different players.
Yeah, so one of them's a tight end, like Heath Miller's one.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then the last one, wow. It's not a running back. It's not like there's no other tight end. There's a receiver I'm missing in this, Dan. I mean, Pittsburgh's had so many good receivers through the years. All right, I can't get it. Tell me.
Juju.
It is Juju?
It's Juju, yeah.
You know, I chickened
21,
out.
Barely. He's barely over the line.
I chickened out because I thought with Big Ben maybe being hurt, you know, 2 years ago with the elbow, I thought, maybe that didn't quite get him over.
But we only asked for four.
Right.
And he got four out of the five
with
Santonio.
I got four out of six.
450 points.
That's all right. I'll take it.
You get an A instead of an A+.
That's good enough.
Good job.
That's good enough. Thanks a lot, man.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. That's it, right?
I think that's it.
We did it?
Yeah.
Anything
we
else
could
you want to
go back
hit on,
to one of these quarterback questions and stay there for another 4 hours if we want.
All right, good. But. All right. So, listen, we're going to go from here. It's going to be still a lot of free agent talk. I'm kind of watching film on those.
Yeah, how much longer till we go full-fledged with the draft quarterbacks?
I think by next week I could start talking quarterbacks for sure.
Pete says maybe.
You know, right. And, you know, I don't know if I'll rank them quite yet. I probably will and give out. I mean, I'm usually just – I can't help it, so I just start throwing them out there. But, yeah, I think next week if we get to – you give me to Wednesday,
okay,
for sure I'll start hitting on that. I'm starting to dive around on all these draft guys.
It doesn't have to be the finished product. We can just kind of start on Wednesday.
Nope. And then again, anybody, the listeners out there, specific questions to your teams, anything like that, I'd love to answer that and do that. So don't be afraid to do that. And we'll have Big Phil back in the fold next week. He had to get something done today or whatever. He's old. He's got to go see a doctor or whatever.
He's 50-50 at best.
Yeah, he's 50-50 at best. I know. There's no doubt. He called during the podcast. So he's going to be like, oh, I got done with my appointment a little early. You want to have me on? I'm like, I can't answer questions and do franchise tags and talk to you on text. So
yeah, you missed it, Dad.
Yeah, that's what he said. Here we go. Well, I'm home if you want to call. And he accidentally recorded his voice for a 3-second thing, too. So that's Big Phil for you. That's a 65-year-old father. But everybody, be good. Be out there. Stay out there. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm saying. I'm saying be good.
Good point, yeah.
Everybody, stay safe out there. We'll hit you up Monday. We'll be back podcast. We'll have something to bring to the table. Deep dives into football. You know it. Paulie B, you're the man.
Good to see you.
All right. Good seeing you. Peace out, everybody.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.